nothing to do till her daughter says she'll be dead with you.
Second hour of Off the Beaten Path. I am your host, Steve Elkins, and this is September 11th, 2022. And we go back to the phones. We talked to JR in Georgia. Welcome, JR.
Thank you for taking my call, Steve. And let us not forget what happened on this date, 9/11.
Yep.
21 years ago. But with that said, I'm going to be real quick as I can, Steve. We are being gaslit from so many directions. We're still having the conversations in regard to COVID-19 vaccines. Now we're talking about monkeypox. Mm-hmm. We have this so-called queen of the colonial expansion of the British Empire.
Yep.
But there's one issue that is not being discussed, and it has not been discussed or seen in any relevant news reports now for about the past 4 or 5 months. And that is the Ukraine-Russian war. It has been reported now that Ukraine has made some type of advance against the Russians. And what is ironic is the fact, for the first 60 to 90 days of this conflict, you had every network, that includes Fox, CNN, MSNBC, who had field people actually in country reporting on it. When's the last time you've seen anyone in country reporting on this war?
Well, yeah, they've kind of backed off on it, haven't they?
Yes, sir, they have.
They have backed off. But you know, I'm not buying in that the Ukraine is winning this thing here. And I know them where they keep pushing that angle that Ukraine is winning against Russian forces, that it's not true. It's quite the opposite. I'm not sure what Putin's waiting for. I'm not sure what he's doing. I thought he would have kind of nipped this in the bud pretty fast, but we're coming up on, what, over 200 days now, but February 24th was the very first day. I'm not sure what his strategy is. He's a chess player. Putin's a chess player. I'm not sure what he's planning here. I'm not sure what he's got up his sleeve.
And that's exactly the same thought I have.
Yeah.
And I'm very curious is why we are continuously sending all this money, billions and billions, to this country. There is something that is not being reported.
Yeah.
These monies are being shifted to oligarch funding of some nature. I don't know
I think you're right. I think you're on the money there. It's been sent off to oligarchs. They are padding their little war chest here. They're going to be escaping. The rats are going to escape with a lot of our money, no doubt about it. But I also think some of that's being funneled back to our own country through illegal black ops programs through our own DOJ, JR. I'm pretty certain we're getting some kickbacks on this.
Well, it concerns me that the Russians, just like you stated previously, what is Putin waiting on?
Yeah.
Why does he just pull out everything he has and end this conflict if he supposedly has the strength and the power to do so?
He does. He does. I don't think he wants to go the same route as the United States. I think he doesn't want the world to come down on him. You know, he's got – right now you've got a coalition of a couple countries, of course, Ukraine, United States, Israel, you know, a couple small countries that, you know, would come together. But the bottom line is if he pulls the same stunt – as the United States did during like the Gulf War, of shock and awe. If he pulls that stunt there, he's going to get this coalition to grow much bigger and come out against him. He's being smart about how he's trying to win this war. He's not going to go the shock and awe route. He's not going to go that route. I'm not sure what he's going to do.
Well, I'm just very curious as to why this has been not necessarily reported on now for the past 3 or 4 months. How everything has been, how every other headline has taken over the headline of the Ukraine-Russian war. And we are being nitpicky in our media, in the national media, of what we're actually covering since the beginning of this conflict. And I'm afraid there's something that's hidden within this conflict that may or may not raise its nasty head here in the next few months.
Well, that's interesting that you say that. I agree with you, but I got a text today of a clip somewhere in Germany that evidently some big council, they sat down. It was one of these major, these political councils, whatever they had, and the speaker had actually said something which drew a lot of gasps from the audience, but he'd actually referred to a very special date of something that's going to happen. Almost that's going to be of like a 9/11 type situation here. We'll always remember the day where we were on this date, and the date was September 24th. So he actually let the cat out of the bag here. I think a lot of politicians were saying, oh my gosh, he said it. I think they knew, but he actually had mentioned the date. So now we're going to wait till September 24th, and maybe we're going to see another false flag type situation here and somebody else pointing the blame, getting the blame for something. But hey, we had 9/11. We may have another one September 24th. We'll have to wait and see.
Well, the thing is, too, Russia's already announced they've already cut back in regards to their energy supplies to Eastern Europe.
Yep.
So we're already facing an issue that has not been addressed by any of the national media at all. It's all been just disregarded.
Well, when they have mentioned this, they've always mentioned it in a very bad light. You know, the Russians are halting gas exports to Germany and Europe. What a terrible bunch of guys. You know, the Russians are terrible. Well, hey, Germany and much of Europe is siding with the United States on sanctions and everything else and funding the war effort against Russia. So why would Russia want to help out these countries and give them gas? If you don't understand sanctions are supposed to target the government, and they never do. They target the people. So now the Russians, in retaliation, could say, oh, it may not touch the government. It's simply going to touch the people, affect the people. They don't have to send over energies. They don't have to send energy to Europe at all. They can send the energy to China and anybody else who is actually more friendly, on a friendly term, to Russia right now. But, you know, why would they send fuel, energy, to the people that are still putting sanctions on them and siding with the United States? I wouldn't do it either. I mean, right now, what's going to happen this winter is that Germany and much of Europe are going to be breaking up their furniture, burning the kitchen table and chairs and pallets and everything else they can burn to stay warm. I feel for these people, but here's the situation: is your government is screwing you over. Maybe it's time for a revolution in Europe here. Maybe it's time for a revolution in Germany, and throw out the Nazis that are running your country now, because you're being targeted because of the actions of your government. Maybe it's time to out that government. Maybe it's time.
Well, the thing is, too, now you have European countries such as Sweden, and I believe, I'm not sure, do not quote me, but Poland now are going to be monitoring your thermostat settings throughout the winter.
Yep.
And I mean, you're exactly correct in your previous statement. Yeah. When is Europe going to revolt against this? I know the
it's
farmers
time.
Have.
Yeah.
And how does this progress? How does this spread across the face of the earth to other countries in the revolt against this globalist movement? to try and control your actual individual behaviors, per se.
Yeah. Well, JR, I'm going to go back to that statement on the September 24th. This, you know, letting the cat out of the bag here. I just now thought about it. What, 3 weeks ago, we started getting in the news here. They were starting to plant the seed here as if Russia was going to bomb some Ukrainian nuclear power plant. They started giving the citizens of that area, around that area, iodine pills at, just in case Russia decides to hit that nuclear power plant. Now, that's not going to happen. Russia knows the nuclear power plant. They know where everything is in Ukraine. They know where the bio labs are in Ukraine, all 43 of them. They're in control of those now. So what? They're going to control the bio labs, but then blow up accidentally a nuclear power plant. They're planting the seed weeks ago, planting the seed with something happening probably to that power plant, a false flag, I think. Personally, a false flag, and then saying the people have been prepared now, they have their iodine pills, and so they can offset the radiation poisoning with the iodine pills. I think that there's a false flag possibly with that nuclear power plant.
Well, I will not disagree with it at all, but I believe there's a gaslighting moment about to occur in Europe at some point in time. And what it is, I do not know. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for your time this evening, Steve.
You got it. Appreciate the call. Appreciate the call. I don't know. He is taking his time on what he's doing in Ukraine. I don't know. I've often wondered what he could surely nip this faster, much faster. And he's not. He's dragging his heels on it. I don't know why. I can't wrap my mind around his strategy. He is a chess player. Putin is a chess player. Like I said, he's not going to go the same route as the United States. United States, just like this Top Gun movie here, you know, glorifying the warmongering here. Shock and awe. Do you remember when the media played up that whole shock and awe as if we were watching a display of fireworks in the air? Those bombs were landing and they were killing lots of people. It's a terrible, terrible thing. And you're making it seem like a spectator sport here. So I don't think Putin wants to go down that road. I think he's trying to minimize any kind of casualties as much as he possibly can. Wars is a terrible thing. It is a terrible thing. I don't like war. I don't want to see war anywhere. But I do understand there are bullies. And we live in a bully country. So when's it coming? When's it going to come back to the United States for all what they've done in their government here, all the countries they've toppled, all the millions of people they've killed, all the wealth they've stolen from other countries. Their day is coming. Their day is coming. Let's talk a little bit about this FBI ransacking of Mar-a-Lago. Some interesting things that developed this week I thought were quite interesting. You know, typically on an FBI raid, like a drug raid or something, after the big raid, they kind of celebrate. They have their little photo op. They got the media there, and they roll out their loot. Here's all the loot we got. We got it on a ship. They roll out all that cocaine, a couple hundred pounds, 1,000 pounds of cocaine seized at a port. They take their little photo op pictures with their big loot, and they're heroes. They're heroes. What a great job. They got all the loot. They got this off the street. Probably 10% they get off the street. The rest of it still makes it through because, let's face it, there's money to be made and kickbacks on the illegal drugs coming into this country. That's a fact. Kind of like bootlegging. You know, the government gets their cut. They always get their cut. So 10% you get caught, 90% comes in. Yeah. How do you think they fund these wars? How do you think they fund these black ops wars and toppling governments and doing this and that and assassinations? And how do you think they do that? Can't go to the Congress and ask for, we need money to overthrow this government. We want to assassinate their president. Can't do that. It's illegal. We can't fund that. You better find your money some other way. That's exactly how it happens. exactly how it happens. But this ransacking of Mar-a-Lago, this wasn't a raid. It was scripted. I mean, you had media there taking their pictures, the cameras rolling. All very much scripted. But what was interesting is the pictures that were folders that were thrown on the floor. This was their big loot. The folders on the floor and in full view. You could actually read them. I remember, wow, this is classified stuff here. I can make that out. Oh my God, they screwed up again. Blur it. Now they blurred it, but it's too late. I already saw it. That's exactly what they've been doing. Throwing down things and then later on saying, oh, it's classified. Oh, well, it's classified. Just trust, it's classified. So again, thousands and thousands. This latest article here, the Department of Justice said, there still may be secret documents. It hasn't recovered from Trump's Mar-a-Lago investigation. Yeah, you might want to dig up the casket, the urn there. It's probably in his ex-wife's crypt there, probably somewhere there. This is amazing. They just they never cease to leave this guy alone. They just got to find something to disqualify him for 2024. But this whole coming through your house and ransacking and going through your wife's personal belongings, your son, his room, going through his stuff, probably found his nudie book collection. It's just ridiculous. This is because in a search warrant, excuse me, God, frog in my throat. In a search warrant, it has to specify what you're looking for. And you can't go beyond that. So now they're saying they have thousands of documents. Well, thousands. What do you mean thousands? Be more specific here. 2,000, 3,000, 4,000. Thousands of documents that were taken from Trump's Mar-a-Lago residence. Along with private stuff, personal stuff, his wife's stuff. His son's things. This is their loot. This was a scripted travesty of justice is what it was. The FBI is not a credible source of intelligence whatsoever. It has been politicized. It has been weaponized. And I would not trust a thing coming out of their mouths. We should never forget. We should never forget about those emails and texts between Peter Strzok and Lisa Page, okay? A conspiracy, a true conspiracy of how to take down Donald Trump. The agency is rogue. It's corrupt. It needs to go. But it won't because Biden's in there. So thousands of government records seized from his property, including taxes. Again, this is nothing more than a dragnet to find something to disqualify him. They had no right to take any tax records from your house. Uh-uh. That's not on the search warrant. Search warrant specifies what you can take. That's it. You can't do that. That's not the secret documents that you say are classified that we need to get back. Doesn't fall in that category. Can't do that. So another illegal action by the FBI. So anything in sight, anything you see, guys, when you see it, if it looks like it could take down Donald Trump, grab it. That's pretty much what happened. More of your calls, 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. Kind of a slow night tonight. That's all right. I did get a chance to watch my finals of the men's U.S. Open. I'm a happy man. Short commercial break. We'll play it back.
Steve, any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. knowledge, and knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash, check or money order, made out to RBN. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. If you send in a check or money order, it needs to be made out to RBN, just the three letters, RBN. And if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away. The network thanks you.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now two-thirds of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow. Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
Welcome, James.
Greetings. You're talking about the royal family. The idea there is you get the people's minds and hearts under control by giving them a symbol they can follow. Worked for thousands of years. And don't forget, even the United States of America came to the defense of England twice, World War One and World War Two. So the technique works. Then, of course, the royalty of England borrowed money from a particular investment bank, and that put them in other kinds of straits, shall we say. What about the new king? That was the question for you.
Mm-hmm. It's not for me because I don't recognize him. But I mean, I'm not gonna. I don't recognize him. I never will. I'll be honest with you, James. I don't understand the British people why they wouldn't want to hang on to such a bad tradition. The royalty are special. They get special privilege. If you're looking up to them, then they're looking down on you. You're a peasant to them, really. You're nothing more than your taxes for them to live a good, happy, rich life. And that's so far from God creating us all as equals. And I just don't understand why anybody would want to be not an equal. I'd like to be an equal, and I don't want to play this game.
Right. Well, you're the first person on RBN I've called since the Queen died, because I didn't want to discuss it too much with anybody else. But since you brought it up today, I thought I'd give you a call. What I can tell you now is you might want to watch this story, which started, I guess, last year. Piers Morgan versus Meghan Markle. There's a story to watch there. Because according to Piers, Meghan is messing up the royal family, and that's not the first time this kind of thing has happened.
Yeah.
There's something to look for.
Well, they definitely covered up that story about Prince Andrew. You remember that whole thing? They paid off people on that one. That sex scandal, that little romp thing he had going on there. I don't know. He was at the Lita Express going to Epstein's Orgy Island. He's been on there many times on that travel list. He's in that black book. He's got scandal. He's got corruption with his name. And, of course, since they're royalty, they simply buried that whole thing. They buried it all.
Right.
Special.
Well, then you see they have him on the hook now, and he's bribable.
Yeah,
now,
that's true.
That is a serious situation.
Yep, that's true.
Maybe that's true. What Piers Morgan is alluding to.
Could be, could be.
So, yeah. All righty. Talk to you later.
Thanks, James.
Thanks. I know.
Yep. Let's go back to the phones, and let's talk to Thomas in New Mexico. Welcome, Thomas.
Thanks for taking my call. I just uploaded on BitChute to expose this queen, and you can find, can I give my BitChute link?
Sure. Go for it. Go for it.
Thank you very much. I go by Blue Raven. It's BitChute.com, BitChute.com/Blue Raven, BLUERAVEN.
Okay.
Name of the video is Jeanette Archer. She's a survivor exposing satanic ritual abuse. And the queen is, I do believe that the queen and several other people would back me up, like several other, lots of other people believe like me, like David Carrico from followers of Jesus Christ Radio, FOJCRadio.com. Followers of Jesus Radio.com. David Carrico would believe me. Scott Hensler would believe me that the queen is not human. The queen is not human. She's a reptilian. Yes, she's a reptilian. And I don't believe that the prince, this the new king, I don't
Prince
believe
Charles.
He's human either. I believe he's reptilian also. And I don't believe that Klaus Schwab, this guy's a nutcase, deranged, insane. And Klaus Schwab, I believe he's also a devil, a fallen angel, a Nephilim, reptilian. And that's all I want to share. And again, my BitChute channel, BitChute.com/ Blue Raven. And thanks for letting me share the link.
All right. Appreciate the call.
All right.
Not sure about the reptilian stuff, but devils, they're devilish, no doubt about it. More of your calls when you get back. 512-248-8252. John in Austin, nice to hear from you. He's up next.
Are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective, and you may be paying the wrong party and the lender lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
John, Scottish John in Austin. Welcome, Scottish John.
Hey, Steve. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Are you going to get on me about trashing or picking on the royal family? Are you going to get on
no,
me about that?
No, actually, no. I'll try and make this as brief as possible because there's a few bits to this story.
Okay.
I grew up, actually, at my father was a staunch royalist. He was a member of the Orange Order. I don't know if you know what that is.
No. Enlighten
me. That was something that was formed a few hundred years ago after the Battle of the Boyne in Ireland, which took place, I think, in 1692 between the Protestant King William of Orange, who was Dutch, and the Catholic King James at the time. Now, I'm not 100% clear on all the details, but that's the origin of this sort of hatred between Protestants and Catholics that's just gone on for years and years. And in Scotland, where I come from, we have two big football teams in a city called Glasgow. One is called Glasgow Rangers, and they're a Protestant outfit, and the other one are Glasgow Celtic. And they're a Catholic outfit affiliated to the Republic of Ireland. So this hatred between these people is just, it goes back so long. And in the 1960s, when I was a teenager, I remember hearing on the TV news often, whenever these two teams would play together, the fans would actually attack each other with things like machetes.
Wow.
That was the level of hatred of these people.
Uh-huh.
Now, I, because of my upbringing, I was a, I wouldn't call myself a supporter of the royal family, but, you know, as far as I was concerned, that was fine. That was the status quo, and I didn't have a problem with it. Of course, when I became an adult, things changed. I'll get to that in a minute, because I've got a couple of wee funny bits here. I moved to London in 1986 because I wanted to get into the acting profession. I couldn't find a decent job. Thanks to Margaret Thatcher, there wasn't a decent manufacturing job to be had, and I'd done some amateur dramatics in my past. So I went to London and hoped, you know, that I'd score. And it was a year after they had Live Aid, and the comedians in Britain formed this thing called Comic Relief so that they could do their bit about raising money for the hungry in Africa.
Sure, sure.
And they organized this fun run around London. This, I think it was a Sunday. It was a 6K run or a 10K run or something like that. So I took part in that. And we come out of Hyde Park and we're running down the side of Buckingham Palace. And all of a sudden, this popped into my head. And what football fans used to do was they used to make parodies of some popular songs that were in the charts of the day. So all of a sudden, this just pops into my brain and I start singing, "Oh, Randy Andy, Fergie can't wait for her wedding night." Oh, and within 5 seconds, Steve, I don't know how many hundreds of people were singing that song down the side of Buckingham Palace. It was one of, well, that's one of my favourite memories. Now, as again, with the acting thing, a lot of would-be aspiring actors, we worked as waiters because of the flexibility of the hours if you had to go for an audition. And soon found out that if you bought yourself a butler's uniform, you could get an extra pound an hour working as a butler as opposed to a waiter. So I get the butler's outfit, and we've got this function this night, and it's a 50th birthday party for the deposed King Constantine of Greece. And it was in St. James's in London in a place called Spencer House, which I assumed at the time belonged to Diana's family, but no, in fact, I found out years later it was a Rothschild property. Well, guess whose table I get allocated? Charlie boy. Nona.
Really?
So I'm Prince Charles's butler this night. So they come in, they sit down, and I go over, and I pour him a glass of water, and I pour him a glass of wine, and I suddenly realise, well, no one's informed me of what the protocol is here. Normally, at a function, you would pour your wine in and kind of walk over and say, "Everybody all right? Anybody need a top-up?" But I'm thinking, well, this is Prince Charles. I can't really do this. So I'm standing there at my station. I clear the dishes and put the food down, and they never got another drink all night. That's all they had to drink, one glass of wine. And not once did anyone look over at me and say, "Call me over to the table." And I thought that was the weirdest thing. Now, yeah. I fell out with the royal family years later. I ended up going to college, actually. One of the classes I did was history. Well, I got taught the kind of history that I never got taught in high school. And me and the royal family kind of went our separate ways. Yeah,
Good.
I can't bloody stand them. I can't stand them.
Well,
now, there's an interesting...
I believe in everybody pulling their own weight. John, I've always believed in pulling your own weight. And the free ride and the special privilege, I don't grant that to anybody. I don't grant that to anyone.
Yeah.
So I believe in pulling your own weight and having an impact, giving something back. What do these people give back? They give nothing. They live the best of life, the best of food, the best of travel, the best of everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
No.
I mean, I
don't condone.
I've not paid much attention to the coverage of it. I listened to Sky News UK for a few minutes the other day, and it just made me want to vomit listening to these bloody sick fans talking about this bloody family. And not once does anyone, I mean, I just can't get past the Jimmy Savile thing. Jimmy Savile was like one of their adopted family members. And he, as far as I'm concerned, is one of the most evil, bloody people that ever lived. A necrophiliac pedophile. And I'll tell you, one of the worst stories I ever heard about him, and it disappeared quick out of the news, but there used to be an American DJ called Paul Gambaccini on Radio 1 in Britain, and he has... His office was next door to Savile's at the BBC there in Shepherd's Bush. And when his mother died, Savile had the coffin with his mother's body in it brought into his office. And I believe he kept it there for about 4 or 5 days. That is an established fact, actually.
Interesting. But
the allegation that Gambaccini made was that he overheard what he assumed were Savile having intercourse with his mother's corpse. Now, that's the level of this guy's evil. I don't even know if evil is a good enough bloody word for it. But this family associated with this bastard, and these Muppets are out in the street waving and laying flowers and crying their hearts out for these bastards. Give me a break.
I agree with you. I'm right there with you.
Hey, let me finish quickly with this one,
yeah,
Steve. This is quite interesting.
Got a couple more calls up here. Keep going.
I saw this story a couple of years ago, but I didn't see it in the detail that I've just seen. It popped up on my Facebook page today. Now, Prince Charles was dating Camilla Parker Bowles back in the 1960s. In 1965, it's claimed that she had a baby. She was 18 and he was 17. Now, of course, they had to do something with that baby. And the story is that this lady, who was the Queen's cook, took the baby and gave it to her daughter because her daughter couldn't have children. So this guy is actually in line for the throne after Charles. And, of course, we won't know what's going to become of that until it's time that he either dies or gives up. And we're expecting that Prince William will be king. So I'm looking forward to see how this transpires.
All right. Appreciate it, John. Thanks for the
call. All right, mate. Cheers.
All right. Let's go back to the phones and talk to Charlie in Florida. Welcome, Charlie.
Hello, Steve. How are
you?
Hey,
Charlie. How you doing?
Actually, your last caller stole a lot of my thunder. I was going to talk about how one of the things that I had against the Queen is that I believe she knighted this guy Savile, and I'm not sure he mentioned that, but I believe he was knighted, and that's when it kind of took me. I mean, this guy Savile was obviously kind of weird.
Yeah,
for the Queen to knight him, I think, was kind of bizarre. You know, that always kind of. If he was knighted, I believe he was. I don't keep up with the royals. But the other thing is, as he was talking about, is this guy, the prince, who is, I think it's Andrew, and I think there's another one, I can't remember, William. William, I think it's Prince William is the one who's next in line. And there's been lots of people in the past going way back. I mean, going back probably 10, maybe 15 years that have looked at this guy, and for some reason they have all come, a lot of people have come to the conclusion this guy could be the future, what they call the Antichrist. Now, I know you don't get into the religious stuff on your show.
No, I don't.
But for some reason, his name and other things seem to point at him being, you know, a future possible Antichrist. A lot of people believe that the Antichrist will be a prince, okay, because of certain things that it says in the Bible about it being like a little horn and other things. I don't know all of that. But the other reason I called in was about all this going on in Ukraine.
Yeah.
I know that everybody's wondering why Putin hadn't gone in there yet, and I'm kind of like the same way. There's something going on there. I mean, Putin could. I know that it's The Ukraine has launched a second offensive a few days ago, about a week ago. I think they started the second one. And they have been causing a lot. That has slowed a lot of the progress that Russia had been making. And I think, but I, what I'm seeing is it looks like that there must be some evidence out there in one of these bio labs or something like that, that he's wanting to spring on there before he actually goes in. And I think he wants to go all the way in and take Kiev. Okay. I think he wants to take the whole country back.
Yeah. Yeah,
and I think that's what they're doing. I think they're making a slow progress, take the whole country back. And the reason I think that he wants to take Kiev is because nothing has worked. These people have, he's offered all kinds of peace options. He's offered different things, and they've turned him down every time. And the two reasons a lot of people forget why he got in this war in the first place, and that was because the encroachment of NATO on his, into his areas.
That's right.
Which he absolutely, and they absolutely violated that, okay?
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't see that. And they say, oh, he's an invader. Putin's an invader. No.
No.
They
no,
broke
not.
The, that's right. They broke
exactly.
that when they
exactly.
had that, they broke that when they had the, you know, when they NATO started breaking the alliance that they had
yep.
with it. So
sure
he had
did.
A right to invade.
He did.
And the other
Every
thing
right.
is
that,
yes, he did. And, but I think that, and because they've tried to negotiate with this guy Zelensky over there several times, and he's turned them down every time, I think that they've come to the conclusion there's no bargaining here. And that the only way they're going to be able to get to stop this stuff is just to go ahead and take the whole damn country back. And I think that's probably what they're working on. And that's why it's going slow, I think, because it's going slow because it's a big country. And the type of war they're fighting is they're liberating one city at a time instead of going in there with, like, you know, missiles and. I mean, or, you know, striking or with air power and all that.
Right.
They're actually going through and liberating, killing these Nazi Azov battalions out and getting rid of them. But, yeah, Ukraine has launched a recent offensive. We've got to get the United States out of there. That's the other problem. The United States is sending these HIMARS over there, and that's and all that money. And you know where all that money's going? Yeah, I heard you talking about that. I can tell you where a lot of it's going. They're selling these stuff off, these weapons and all this stuff off on the black market. There's videos of people actually seeing this. And guess who's buying it?
Who's buying Russians?
Russians are buying it. That's right.
Yeah.
So they're buying the stuff that the Ukrainians are selling. You know, still, there's something going on here with this Biden deal, too. I mean, the Bidens are crooked. They're about the most crooked administration we've ever had. I think they are the most crooked administration we've ever had.
I think they may have exceeded the Clintons. I think you might be right.
Yeah, the Clintons were the good old boy kind of corruption. You know, pat the guy on the back, get a this and that. But these people are evil. This Biden administration, they're evil. I mean, they're just plain evil. Just look at that last speech he gave. That thing was just off the wall.
It was.
Evil,
it was terrible.
You know?
Yeah.
And, he's calling on them coming after us here in Make America or any conservative for Antifa to come after us. That's right. Antifa to come after us. That's what it was all about.
Yeah,
that's exactly what it was about. Well, I guess that's about all I got to say. I just wanted to call in. I'm getting a lot of echo here, so it's kind of hard for me to hear exactly what I'm saying. But, yeah, I just wanted to chime in on what I think's going on over in Ukraine. I've been trying to keep up with it pretty good. And I think that Russia's decided they're just going to have to go through and take these places out one at a time. And I think he's also looking for a lot of evidence that for war crimes that Ukraine's committed against people. so that he has some more solid evidence that he can take, you know.
Well, let's see if he can capture Zelensky. That would be nice, wouldn't it? Capture Zelensky.
I'd love to see that.
Wouldn't that be something else, that he doesn't escape and he gets captured? I'd love that.
Oh, that'd be the grand prize right there.
It would be.
That and some of his, a couple of his generals there, if he could get them to talk, boy, they'd have something, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. All right, I'll let you go, Steve. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it. Let's go back to the phones here, and let's talk to Ed in Utah. Welcome, Ed.
Yeah, Steve, what a show again tonight. Really good.
Appreciate it.
Lots of stuff there. Yeah. I don't want to comment too much on the Russia thing, although I'll say this. I am still rooting for Putin. If you recall, a couple years back, a lot of people made the point, including the late John Stadmiller, that there were two adults on the world stage, Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. Mm-hmm. And notice both are under siege in different realms. Of course, we know what happened with the stealing of the election. And the stealing of the election is the main reason I still support Donald Trump, because he's the legitimate president of the United States. Like Steve Bannon, and I want to get to him in a second, Steve Bannon says, elections have consequences. Stolen elections have disastrous consequences. Yeah. And look at him being under indictment for the same crime again. Last time I checked, Steve, that's a double jeopardy. And they're trying to use the ruse that it's a state court now. Doesn't matter. It's the same crime. Doesn't matter which jurisdiction comes for a second time. That's in violation of double jeopardy. No doubt about it.
I find interesting.
And now they know they don't have a Donald Trump sitting there that can pardon him anyhow. But they would preclude that by going into a state situation. So I ask you, Steve, and I ask others rhetorically, I'm still rooting for Putin. Douglas McGregor, you can tell that he's, when he goes on Tucker, he's very even-handed, but at the same time, he knows it's a farce. Zelensky is an American comedian. He's a Russian-born Jew. He's part of the Zionist apparatchiks. So where are we at here? I'm tying this together, the whole situation with the Ukraine. After all, the Bidens and the Romney kid, these people were a part of the Ukraine for the last decade or so, Burisma and all this corruption there. Uh-huh. How can it be that that's the focal point of war right now and it has nothing to do with the Bidens? It has everything to do with the Bidens.
I agree.
Challenging the Bidens the most, the MAGA leaders, they do seem to be taking them down. You might have seen that on the Gateway Pundit, the 50 MAGA leaders, Steve, that are being targeted. The most notable ones here are Steve Bannon, who does seem for real on many flanks. Uh-huh. So I put a lot out there, Steve. Do you agree somewhat with where I'm going here?
Yeah, I do. I also noticed that they're going after Bannon a second time around now after this this charity Build the Wall. They're going after him. They've thrown a net around anybody who's been associated with Donald Trump here. They are trying to find... They're hoping that Steve Bannon flips and flips on Donald Trump. They're looking for something to disqualify him. They're really desperate, very desperate to find something. And they've come up empty-handed every time. The January 6th Commission, a total failure. All their witnesses, failures. They can't find any tax records. You can't get him on that. They've got to find something to disqualify him. And you know what? If they can't find something to disqualify him, and I said this before, these people are very evil. They will. They've taken out JFK. They'll take out Donald Trump. They'll definitely assassinate him. They cannot have him going back in office, because I think he probably would carry through his threat of having some investigations to all these people. You notice that the United States actually had, since the Cold War ended, we had a pretty good reputation, a pretty good rapport back and forth with Putin and Russia. Things were going fine. Then they collaborated, the Steele dossier, the Clintons, Obamas. This whole Russiagate thing totally destroyed the rapport that United States Donald Trump had with Russia now, because if he was seen talking to him or, you know, collaborating with Russia, well, then he's a Russian stooge, one of those situations there. So they destroyed that rapport between the United States, Donald Trump, and Russia. And then here, yes. here we are now.
Yes, yes, you're right. Well put. And when you look at, we have a complication because we have the leadership that was pro-Trump and still says they are. I mean, the neocon leadership, if you will, Mark Levin and what right. have you, who just flipped when that Iraq, or excuse me, when the Ukraine attack happened, when Putin was launching his counteroffensive against these globalists and what have you, Steve. So we have a leadership problem. We have people at the top of the GOP aligning themselves with Democrats, basically.
Yeah.
Go get Putin. Go help Ukraine. Send all this money over. And so it does speak to the uniparty concept when you have Mitch McConnell and McCarthy literally backing, like up in New Hampshire there, her name is Leavitt, running for Congress. She's a true blue, MAGA conservative. And they are actually financing the Democrat through a super PAC, McCarthy, this corruption, to stop anything Trump, as you just said, Steve. The way I look at it, let's go back to your concept of the thought of the September 24th. There could be a false flag in tow here, or it could be just they could go full banana republic on us and do mass arrests of people we wouldn't have dreamed of even a couple of months ago. And then... So at that point, does the American people, do people in what's left of the militias, do people in the Bannon sphere, would they come to his rescue? Would they launch? And what about the 400, as Don Stabenow pointed out a year ago in the summer, the retired admirals and generals that had that open letter to the Biden administration? Would they pull what they have, perhaps McGregor? I can't put words in his mouth. Would these great patriots, if they are great patriots, would they make a move saying we can't go two more years with this Biden freak show?
You're thinking possibly.
And what have you.
Possibly.
And could something happen in reverse of the false flag to say enough of this? Yeah. We do need help within the military ranks. We do need the real patriots to stand up with us.
Wouldn't that be something else, Ed, to witness a coup to overthrow the government? Wouldn't that be interesting to see that?
They're forcing that to have to happen, Steve.
Yeah.
We can't go two more years with this tyrannical situation. We cannot do it and have them continuing to steal elections, continuing to push this jab.
Ed, got to go here. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Hey, that completes our show this evening. Back again on Monday with my good friend Ron McDonald in that second hour for the National Intel Report. Thank you for listening. Thanks for your calls. Health, happiness, and safe travels. We will talk again. Good night.
Another holiday weekend is marred by deaths. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 2 dead in Norfolk, 3 shot in Brooklyn, and 7 dead are among the 46 shot in Chicago over the holiday weekend. Some will say we need gun control to stop mass shootings, but not so fast there, gun grabbers. Gun control didn't stop the 10 dead and 15 injured in mass stabbing events in Canada over the weekend. Guns are tools, just like knives, and also just like knives, they can be misused for evil. In fact, so can household chemicals, cars, fertilizer, prescription drugs, and many other things that we use every day. We need to focus on the real problems, criminals and evil. Fix the morality of society, and that'll do a lot more to stop violence than taking away a tool. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, Sivis Pashem, Parabellum.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.